This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Saturday, the 8th of October. This is episode 229. Damon, how are you doing? How's your week been?
We're doing good. Nice, beautiful weather today. Beautiful fall day today. Not a cloud in the sky. Cool crispness in the air. It's hockey season has begun. Baseball playoffs have begun. I put $100 down on a champion. Is it Champions League?
No, that was a championship.
Championship.
What was it, the matter? Sorry, I'm looking now. You sent us this screenshot, Norwich against Preston. I'm sorry. I know I follow English football, but I have no opinions about Norwich versus Preston for you.
Well, I stumbled across a statistic where – I don't even know, one of those two teams, they just scored, like, they had 12 games and they haven't scored two goals in a game. So I took the under, and then I parlayed that with a little hockey, which I won. So I just gotta root for under 2.5 goals. So everybody, fingers crossed, under 2.5 goals in this game that I barely even know who they are. Maniac. I sent you the text. I was like, I feel
dirty.
How
much do you stand to win?
I bet 100 to win. I think it was like 260, 270. So it's not super great odds, but I'll take it. I'll double my money. Fine.
So, of course, we had Royal Quest 2 taking place last weekend, which puts us in a bit of a weird situation, Damon, because we don't have it on VOD yet. I assume we're going to be getting after Declaration of Power, that's from what I've heard. And the reason seems to be that they didn't want to put it on live if they knew they didn't have the infrastructure there to do it justice. But it's still a bit weird having this show that, by all accounts, everyone seems to have enjoyed and people are praising very highly, but we can't talk about it yet. I wouldn't, you know, this is not a case of me wanting to protect people from spoilers, because I don't think the results are anything groundbreaking or mind-blowing that people need to be protected from, but it's more just, you know, I want to see the show for myself before we can talk about it. So I don't want to sort of read off a load of secondhand accounts of people who are at the show, but we have questions about this. So Chris, is anywhere from your New Japan sources which of the RevPro guys impressed you in Royal Quest and are being looked at being brought over for a tour? I know it's not on VOD yet, but having seen Night One and heard all accounts, they were working like they knew they were being scouted. Multiverse says, how surprised are you that it seems you won't see Royal Quest 2 until after Declaration of Power? So, yeah, I don't want to comment on anything until I've actually seen the show. So hopefully with Declaration of Power happening on Monday, it would be nice if we could get Royal Quest 2 some point next week. Disappointed that hasn't gone up so far. But as I said on the pod last week, I was convinced that people who went would have a great time. No one's going to be leaving that show disappointed. And I've proved to be right. You know, I don't know how much of a hot take that was, but it sounds like everyone who went there had a blast. You know, we knew that the quality of the card, it wasn't, you know, an A show or anything. People say, you know, it was a house show level card in as much as the matches that were on paper, but it all over-delivered. Everyone had a blast. I'm hearing a lot of match of the year buzz about Aussie Open against FTR. Hearing great things about Yota Tsuji as well. So I'm excited to be watching the show. I feel, you know, people have written and asking questions about which guy's impressed. I don't want to talk about it until I've actually seen the show for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be pretty pointless, right? I mean, and we haven't really heard that much, to be quite honest with you, about anything coming out of there that was, you know, super newsworthy or you know, people getting signed on the spot or who impressed and who didn't. So yeah, we're definitely going to have to see the show because it does feel weird that in this day and age we can't pull it off. But you know what? I'm kind of in the boat of we all know how bad it was the last time, and that's frustrating, especially, you know, if you got shit to do and you know you're carving out a certain amount of time to watch the show, and if it's a poor quality, then yeah, I think maybe that helps fuel fire of you guys can't do anything right. So I'm kind of okay with it. And again, it's not like the world changed with that show. It was a show that they've put on that looked very similar to shows that they would put on in the US, with the same results. I mean, I don't think I've heard anyone thumbs down the overall show and the time that they had and the fun that they had and the quality of the show. But in the same breath, again, nobody hit us up and was like, this was Wrestle Kingdom. And we all knew it wasn't going to be. It kind of landed where we thought it would land when it came to fan appreciation for the show. I mean, it's people liked it. But again, we're going to watch it. And I think that people listening to this show are going to watch that show when it uploads. But I can't imagine anyone just kind of going out of their way that's maybe a casual fan and having to watch it. I just don't. And that's the bad part about having things, on demand, video on demand, is that, if it's not deemed as important or it's not deemed as must watch, then in this day and age, people are going to find something else to do during that time. And it's going to kind of get pushed under the carpet. Now, I will say this. I've heard nothing but just outstanding reviews for the tag match that we thought was going to be great, FTR and Aussie Open. I heard that was just a must-see match. So, I mean, there is that. But, I worry a little bit about things just kind of losing its shelf life.
Yeah, likewise. I heard buzz about that match. I've heard buzz about Yota Tsuji, who wasn't originally scheduled to be on the show, but was a late replacement for Jonah, who didn't fly over due to the hurricane situation. Was it a typhoon? I can't remember. Typhoon, wasn't it?
We call it a hurricane. Oh, okay. Yep. Have you ever seen any? Have you seen any footage of that?
I haven't. No.
Oof, it was. I mean, Fort Myers, Florida, which is on the Gulf side, the Gulf of Mexico side. They just got fucking destroyed. That hurricane, man. I mean, we're talking like 100 and sustained winds of 120 miles an hour. Like, just it just looks like it's just leveled. It's just leveled, and the storm surge flooding. Oh my god, some of those videos are so scary. So, hey, if you're down there, I hope everybody's safe.
Yeah, survived. I mean, I experienced the typhoon myself, Typhoon Meranti. This was in late 2016, I think, when I just moved over to Xiamen in China, and that was pretty horrific. Everyone who was affected by that is okay. And I apologize that our Royal Quest 2 takes won't be fresh. But what will be fresh will be the delicious food from our friends over at HelloFresh.
The segues are the best. I'm not going to lie. They are. That's a professional broadcaster right there, kids. Don't fool yourselves. Hey, you want to know what HelloFresh is? With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Awesome. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's number one in America when it comes to meal kits. Pretty awesome. Hey, subscribe to HelloFresh and, check. Save money off your full to-do list. HelloFresh is 25% cheaper than takeout and less expensive than grocery shopping, too. With HelloFresh, ingredients travel from the farm to your doorstep in less than 7 days. So they're fresh. Plus, pre-portioned ingredients make cooking a snap. That's what I just did there. A snap. And cut down on food waste. We don't want that in this day and age. So, listen, I know you've been thinking about it. I know it's something that has been on your mind. Save some money. Get that fresh, farm fresh meals delivered to your doorstep. Check it out. I got a deal for you. Why don't you do this? Why don't we why don't we do this? I want you. Do we have a link? I'm looking here. I'm wanting to do something, Joe, but I can't find the link. Where's our... Oh, there it is. Sorry about that. Here's what I want you to do. Hey, go to HelloFresh.com/VOW65? VOW65. Okay. They changed it up on us, Joe.
Yeah, it certainly did. Just keeping you on your toes, making sure you're reading the copy.
Yeah, I guess so. So it's new, everyone. HelloFresh.com/VOW65. That's a 6-5. And use the code VOW65 for 65% off plus free shipping. That's pretty cool. All right. So again, magic number 65 for 65% off plus free shipping. It's America's number one meal kit. We highly recommend it. I use it. I find it to be really good. The food's good. The recipes are fun, easy, simple, with directions. And again, everything's mapped out. An idiot could do it if I could do it. So head on over, VOW65. Put in the code VOW65, 65% off. Now's the time to do it. All right, HelloFresh, you kept us on our toes.
And kept the lights on for us with your nice money for us plugging your products.
I got that PayPal email the other day. I was like, oh, all right.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Making it rain, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to mix it up this week. I'm going to talk Strong first.
So wow.
Fighting Spirit Unleashed. Yeah, because I really enjoyed this show. Let me talk about the first match, which was the DKC and Kevin Knight getting a win over Barrett Brown and Bateman. So DKC pinned Barrett Brown after 8 minutes, 16 seconds with the crucifix bomb. Now, this isn't some massive upset, because I think DKC at this point, you know, given that he's got one or two Tours of Japan under his belt, I would say is probably above Barrett Brown in the pecking order. But just seeing a young Lion team getting a win, I think this is two wins in a row for them, is something to raise an eyebrow at, I think. And I would not be surprised to see DKC and Kevin Knight making their way to getting a strong tag team championship opportunity at some point. So if we do get DKC and Kevin Knight against, for sake of argument, Aussie Open, I think that would be a lot of fun. I don't think they'll win, but it's good to see DKC picking up wins. And I do like that crucifix bomb pin finish. I think it's very cool. The second match, we had Aaron Solo defeating Che Cabrera in 8 minutes 31 with a schoolboy. So Che Cabrera, actually, this is his debut. So he's got, if we got our checklist, Damon, he's got the spandex singlet.
Okay.
He's got the goatee. He's got the ponytail, the long hair. He's got all the ingredients to be the next Bad Dutito. So watch this space. Che Cabrera could be our next favorite. But yeah, we've got Aaron Solo here, part of the factory, picking up the win here. And I like what they're doing with the factory here. I think there's a little heel faction that's picking up some genuine heat from the strong crowd, because they don't like them, but they're putting on good matches, and I think it's quite a useful spot for them to be built up and, you know, beat these lower card guys, but then be fed to, you know, the top young lines. You know, you guys like Shota Umino or Ren Narita or Yuya Uemura or whomever it is. So it's a good spot for them on strong, and I think they're doing well. And our main event was the strong Openweight Championship match with Fred Rosser getting in his third defense against the challenger TJP. 17 minutes, 20 seconds.
You really like
Crossface Chicken Wing.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. So, I mean, usually with these strong matches, they usually sort of come in at around 10 minutes. So this one got a lot longer than usual. And Fred Rosser is a guy who, every time I sit down to watch a match, I always sort of have to have this little conversation with myself saying, am I overrating his matches just because I like him and I like strong? But after this one, I can conclusively say no. I thought he was really good here. I thought TJP was good here. There's just something, a way, like the emotion that Fred Rosser puts into the matches and the way he can sort of tell an in-ring story, that is just very, very compelling. And I think TJP is, I know people don't like him personally, but I just think he's criminally underrated as far as a guy to have on your roster who can do, you know, he can be a person who puts on great matches in Best of the Super Juniors. He's doing outstanding stuff with the junior tag title situation at the moment. And as a guy you can plug in for a strong open weight championship match here and deliver in spades. I thought this was really, really good, really compelling, with the sort of story of the sort of grappling and submission chops of TJP against the power brute force of Fred Rosser. There was just a great match early on where TJP sort of effortlessly slipped out of one of Rosser's hold attempts and just whacked his finger at him, and then Ross just slapped him in the face, which was very, very good. I just enjoyed the sort of sense of escalation there. And yeah, I think, you know, Fred Rosser, he's obviously the strong title reign he's got at the moment is not at the level of filthy Tom Lawler's, but Tom Lawler, I think, is an extremely talented guy. So the bar is set very high. But based on this, I think there's a lot of potential for it, and I'm excited. I thought this was a really good match. I would definitely recommend people going out of their way to watch it, even though the caveat that obviously at the end of this match, we had Chris Dickinson making an unannounced run-in and he attacked Fred Rosser. So that seems to be setting up a match between him and Fred Rosser. I don't know if it's going to be a title match. I'm not really interested either way. I just, from the stuff I've heard, it's soured me on Chris Dickinson, and I'd rather not see him on Strong. To be honest, as we've spoken before on the pod, I think if New Japan are going to continue using them, just come clean about it and say, yes, we're using him. He's going to be this show, this show, this show. So let people vote with their feet. But aside from that blemish, I thought Rosser versus TJP was very, very good TV match that I think people should go and watch and enjoy.
Yep. I agree with you 1,000% in the sense that just announce that he's going to be on shows and give people the choice. Let them speak with their money. You know, there might not be people who are familiar with the situation. I don't even think many people are 100%, you know all the facts, but we know what we know, and it's not a good look. And if New Japan is going to make the choice to have him be on their shows, then yeah, I think that at the very least, it should be a choice that a person will make when they buy their tickets. I think it's very
a bit transparency.
Yes. Yes. Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, I hate to say it, but no promotion's really ever done that. You know, it's just, I, you know, and that goes back to like the 80s, you know, where, you know, you're always hiding behind cards subject to change, and you don't really always know the complete lineup. You might know headliners, but yeah, I mean, especially now. You got to do it. I think it's only fair. And again, the transparency is important. I think it is to give people the option to say, oh, what's going on here? I'm going to set this one out. Or, hey, you know what? I'm going to see how this plays out. I'm comfortable going to a New Japan Pro Wrestling show with him on the show. Okay, cool. I mean, let people decide that. I think that's an important thing.
One other thing I would like to mention is that the episode of Strong that will be released tomorrow, I'm hearing a lot of buzz about the Ren Narita versus Juice Robinson match. So definitely check that one out. Obviously, we'll talk about it next week, but I've heard very good things about that. So keep an eye out for that one.
Speaking of Juice.
Let's move on. Yes.
I'm sorry. Speaking of Juice, what do you think about the I know we talked a little bit, and I mentioned that, you know, I thought it was just him leaving, you know, and joining Bullet Club, and you know he's going to wave the Bullet Club banner. But apparently, we had people reach out to us and say, "Well, that might not necessarily be the case." Statement, in the sense of that might be a true thing where Juice is not going to be with New Japan any longer. I mean, that could change. That could be very flexible and very fluid. But yeah, from what I understand, people that we talk to, it's kind of a real thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it could just be, you know, we're not going to be seeing him in Japan regularly anymore, maybe sort of the odd Strong taping, which would be a shame because I was quite keen on the Rock Hard re-debut, you know, the gimmick, the heel turn. But as I mentioned when we talked about it last time, I think the booking in the G1 has lent some credence to this idea that he may be sort of moving away from New Japan long term. So, yeah, it's a shame because I was quite excited by the turn.
Yeah, me too. And I thought it would get, you know, a new coat of paint on a guy who somewhat needed it. I like Juice. I think Juice is fine. I think he's good. I would hate to see him not be there. But, I mean, the way New Japan is spread out all over the world right now with these little bubbles everywhere, again, it just might mean he's just not taking the flight back to Japan, and he can get work here, and he can snuggle up next to Tony and, you know, and spend the night, you know, in his own bed. So hopefully that's Hopefully it's more of that and less of I'm going to go out and try to do other things. I'd like, you know, and you can do whatever you want. Like, I get that people fall in and out of love with stuff. And even though he's been training his entire life, it feels like, for these moments, you can get bored with it or frustrated with it or just, you know, lose your shine for it and want to do something different. I mean, you know, from what I understand, could very well be the case too. So, again, a lot of speculation on my point based off of a handful of texts, but I just thought that was interesting that I was maybe not wrong, but not right. Let's put it that way.
How much do you think this discontent is down to perpetually having to work in front of clap crowds?
I think, look, if you're a pro wrestler, you want to get paid is really the bottom line, right? You'll wrestle in front of a fucking, you know, a garbage bag. And if you get paid, you wouldn't care. That's a terrible analogy. Why would you wrestle in front of a garbage bag? But my point being is that, you know, they just want to get paid. But if you're in a profession where you're just about your whole entire profession is based off of crowd reaction and what you do in the ring, it can be very frustrating. It can be very frustrating. So is there frustration? I guess your question, and you tell me if I'm wrong, it is that going to Japan is just becoming such a hassle. Because, you know, even though they can get there with relative ease, it's still, there are still plenty of restrictions and the clap crowds and all that stuff and the half capacities and all that stuff. I would think it would have to play some factor, right? It would have to play some factor. I mean, imagine being in a band and being like, okay, oh, we can only perform in front of 25 people. Well, usually we get 17,000. Wait a minute, why? Yeah, I'm sure there's some frustration with that. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially a guy like Juice, who sort of feeds off of that. That's been a huge part of his character. Even though he's not a babyface anymore, I can definitely see guys like this, especially when they are doing work in the US as well, where they are able to work in front of loud, noisy crowds like a, you know, Dynamite or whatever, then they must be just a gut punch to have to go back in front of a clap crowd. So, you know, hopefully that won't last too much longer. I mean, we're seeing, it looks like more than half of this World Tag League Super Junior Tag League Tour is going to be in front of cheering crowds, which is one way to try and get people to watch World Tag League. So, I'll be tuning in. So there you go. It's something to look forward to there. But let's move on to discuss Declaration of Power, which will take place this Monday, October 10th at the Ryogoku Kokugikan. So the first match is the Ren Narita comeback match. Not a singles match. We've got a six-man tag. So it's going to be Ren Narita, Robbie Eagles, and David Finley against Doki, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and El Desperado. So Dr. Gary says, what are your thoughts on this return match? Ren being a six-man tag and as the opening match. I was expecting something a bit more high profile.
Maybe it could be more profile. It's Ren and who? Kushi?
So it's Ren, Robbie Eagles, and Finley against Doki, Kanemaru, Despy. I mean, maybe. It's probably a bit, I mean, for the opening match, probably not. But could there be an angle there? Maybe
That's
Ren turns on his teammates and joins Suzuki-gun. But that never really makes sense when you wrestle a full match. Fighting against the guys you're collaborating with and hitting them. And they are. Oh, no, actually, I was just playing along. But
Right. Yeah,
maybe he joins Suzuki-gun at the end. We'll see. But I think that's unlikely. I think this is just going to be a straight six-man tag match. Ren Narita's back. You know, he pins Doki or Kanemaru, and everyone's like, yeah, he Ren's back. There we go.
Okay. They can make this interesting, but yeah, I agree with you. Do you think he gets the win? I'll tell you right now, I don't think he gets the win.
Who's picking up the win then? I mean, it could be Robbie, be Finley. I mean, that's a pretty nice six-man team. I like that team of Ren, Robbie, and Finley.
Never six-man titles. Let's go. Let's go.
Wouldn't be the strangest team that Finley... Wasn't Finley a six-man champion? that really bizarre team? Was it
Tanahashi? Is that
Taguchi,
the one?
Taguchi, I want to say. I'm going to have to look this up.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I guess? I'm going to say Finley, Tanahashi, and somebody, right? Wasn't it?
I think it might be Finley, Kojima. I think Kojima was in it, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You might be right. Come on, look that up. Come on, Google, man.
Okay. Well, this Wikipedia page, list of never openweight six men tag team champions. I wonder how many people have been on this one.
Keep scrolling.
Oh my God, we've got Tanahashi, Elgin, and Yoshitatsu.
Yeah.
That's a team.
That's a team. Let's go through the list of those champions. I want to do that. I'd rather do that. Let's go through that list. I want to see some of those names. Good.
Inaugural champions, Toriano and the Briscoe brothers. Obviously. Fale, Tamatonga, Yujiro.
Okay.
Yano, the Briscoes again. The Elite, so Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Tanahashi, Elgin, and Yoshitatsu.
Yeah.
Then back to Omega and the Bucks. Then we've got Matt Sydal, Ricochet, and Kojima.
Wow. That's then a team.
Vacated. And then the new champions were Finley, Ricochet, and Kojima. So there we go. That was
the
team I was thinking of.
What
a bizarre mishmash of people.
It really is.
Going forward, we've got Taguchi, Japan team. There's Tanahashi, Manabu Nakanishi, Irusuke Taguchi. That might be the weirdest one.
That was nuts. Yeah, that's pretty fucked up. Yep.
Beretta, Ishii, and Yano.
Come on. Well, I mean, it's, they were all in chaos, but yeah, okay. That, like, just on paper, it's weird. Go ahead.
The Taguchi, Makabe, and Yano team. You remember that from 3 years ago?
Nope.
How could you forget? Wow. Yeah, those are the highlights.
That's awesome.
What a title. I hope they keep that forever.
Yeah. I feel like, though, it's somewhat lost its randomness, though. Right? It feels like I like the idea of just, like, again, I don't know, fucking Robbie Eagles and I don't know, Hikaleo and somebody, you know, just
and this team has got big random energy. Like, let's bring back the randomness with the team of Narita Eagles and David Finley.
Yeah,
make the never six man titles random again.
Yes, I'm all in. I'm all in on that. Pick names out of a fucking hat. Let's go.
Okay, second match, we've got Dangerous Techers, Taichi and Zack Sabre Jr. against TMDK team of Bad Dude Tito and Shane Hayes. Though I'm assuming this is just like a tune-up match for Dangerous Techers to get them some all-important momentum leading towards World Tag League. But I do have a sort of interesting thought here about this team of Tito and Shane Hayes. Now, of course, historically, the more the TMDK team we are more used to seeing has been Shane Haste and Mad Mikey Nichols. But Mad Mikey Nichols, as of yet, has not returned to Japan. So I was wondering if this might be the TMDK team for World Tag League, Bad Dude Tito and Shane Haste.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's they're feeling it out, right? I would not be surprised at that at all. Yeah, I mean, it's probably one of the I don't want to say bottom feeder teams that would be in the league, but yeah.
I'll tell you what, like, I mean, God bless Bad Dude Tito for now just being a regular part of that New Japan international touring roster.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, here's a guy that kind of, I mean, I remember when you fucking first announced the name and I was like, who? Like on a strong taping or some shit. And then away we went. And I just find it amazing how much they trust this guy and you know, put him in somewhat bright spotlight. So yeah, it is I think it's one of the more amazing stories that and I think Doki kind of was that to a certain degree with the people who listen to this show, at least, and even outside of that, but I think, like, right now it, like, Tito's our guy. You know what I mean? Like
right. And I mean, the most important thing, like, is bearing the lead that I was ahead of the curve on all of these guys.
No doubt. You are, without question, there is no one else on the interwebs or off that is more dialed in to who's making it out of strong than Joel J.
I think it's safe to say it now. I mean, listen through half an hour of this crap, the cover's blown already. All right, Oh. You want random teams, Damon. Yes. You want random teams. Third match. All right. So we've got the House of Torture show, Yujiro Evil, against, check this out, Ryusuke Taguchi, Hikuleo, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
That's exactly what I wanted, right?
That is it.
That is
what I want.
Fantastic. Okay. That's good. I like that. Hikuleo, Taguchi, and Tanahashi. Wow. What a fucking team. Let's go.
Hikuleo's got to pick up the win here, surely. We've got to get the momentum going. You know, he's got a big never title match coming up against Machine Gun Carl Anderson. He can't lose this one. So he wins. And then Taguchi, Hikuleo, and Tanahashi, they're in line for a title shot. And we're one step closer to the dream.
Holy moly. Look at what we're doing here. We're booking this thing out. Whew.
Name another podcast that's going to get you this hyped for the third match of Declaration of Power.
Right. None. And I'm telling you. Yeah. We like silly things. And when we find that silly groove, boy, we just slide right on in.
Fourth match. Now, I'm intrigued about this. Maybe you could enlighten me. But the second match I mentioned, that was Taichi and Zach against Tito and Shane Haste. Mm-hmm. Fourth match is Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto, the Bishamon team, against Khan on the Cob, Great Khan and Jeff Cobb. But this one is labeled a special tag match. But the second match, nothing. It doesn't say special tag match. So what is the difference between the second match and this match? Why does this one get to be a special tag match, but the second one is not a special tag match? Whew.
That is something I cannot answer. I have no fucking idea.
I want answers. Someone from New Japan, get in touch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious. Why is that getting the special badge of special? Yeah, I want to know. I want to shop.
Well, we want to shop. Tell us why.
Tell us why New Japan. Why is this special? We want to shop. Okay, that's enough.
Well, anyway, so this, you know, as I've mentioned, we're leading into World Tag League. So these are two established tag teams. Both are former champions. And you may remember earlier in the year, they had IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match before that championship belt was dissolved and never heard from again. But yeah, that it was really good the first time they had a match. Now, this is the fourth on the match of a, let me check, a nine-match card. So I don't think they're going to get necessarily the time or the spot to replicate that. But I'm into it. You know, if they go out there, have a nine-minute match, could be very interesting. And hard to call a winner there. Leaning towards the United Empire team of Khan on the Cob, because I think they should be the team that's getting the spotlight going into World Tag League. I think they've got to be one of the favourites. But you can never rule out Bishamon. I mean, yeah. What else are we going to do with Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto come Wrestle Kingdom? So just that in and of itself is a strong enough reason for me not to discount them from World Tag League. So a bit of intrigue going into this very special tag match.
It's special. It's special. Yeah. I'm always on board with Okan and Cobb. Like I just want it to happen and happen now for them to be a dominant tag team, belts the whole nine yards. So we shall see. But yeah, I think if I had odds or were laying some money down, I would say that Okan and Cobb might be my pick to win World Tag League. Might be my pick.
So our fifth match, we've got an eight-man tag match with the LIJ team of Bushi, Hiromu, Sanada, and Naito against United Empire team of Francesco Akira, TJP, Aaron Hanare, and Will Ospreay. So obviously, the spotlight is going to be on Naito and Ospreay, who are going to be wrestling for the IWGP US Heavyweight Championship match on November the 5th. At Battle Autumn in Osaka. But I'm looking at other members in this match. So obviously Akira and TJP are our IWGP Junior Tag Team Champions. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Bushi and Hiromu challenge for those titles. I don't know when, I don't know where. I mean, it might be something fresh and interesting for Hiromu, for them to win the Super Junior Tag League, and then have that, maybe that could be your opening match at Wrestle Kingdom, Akira and TJP defending against Bushi and Hiromu.
Wow. I mean, here's the thing. Like, Hiromu traditionally is your top of the, you know, number one seed, your anchor of the junior division, your, you know. First match, Wrestle Kingdom. That's pretty interesting. I like it though.
Well, he was the opening match at Wrestle Kingdom. Was it last year or the year before that? Was it him against ELP was the opening match?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Good spot. Get the crowd hyped.
That's true. That's good. That's a good point. I might want it. I think it's something new and fresh. I'd be fine with that. It's not going to... I think all four of those guys could make it really interesting. Yeah, let's do it. I'm down.
All right, I'll text Ghetto. Sixth match is a special singles match. Again, it's the special again. Special singles match with Taiji Ishimori against Master Watto. So it was supposed to be Kushida, but he hasn't recovered from his hand, foot, and mouth. And even when it was Kushida, it wasn't a junior title match defense anyway, because this is a fantastic story, Damon. A very deep, intricate lore here of Taiji Ishimori assessing Kushida. So he's going to assess him and assess his performances before deciding whether or not he would be worthy of an IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team match. A IWGP Junior Heavyweight title opportunity. Yeah. So Kushida wasn't going to get one, and Watto's not getting one either. This is a special singles match. What do you think is going to be the assessor's assessment of Master Watto? Do we give any chance to our little blue boy here?
Blue boy has no shot, right? I can't imagine. It's a singles match against a guy.
Special singles match.
My bad. No disrespect intended.
It's important.
Yeah. This special singles match. Look at the two guys that are in there. That has me super concerned, because as much as Master Watto has done well in the tag situation, we all kind of, let's see what you can do on your own. And he's going in there against a guy who does have a little bit of a reputation of taking nights off, or...
He's a junior Carl Anderson.
You know what I mean?
Right, like Taiji Ishimori.
Yeah. So I just want to see how it works out, to be honest with you. Like I'm more interested in, let's see if there's like I just want to see how it works.
Ishimori is just completely sandbagging him, just totally uncooperative, no selling all his attacks.
Right. And Watto missing, like, I set the over-under at 2 moves. They completely missed the mark. Stumbling, fumbling, bumbling. It makes for at least an interesting dynamic to a pro wrestling match where, honestly, who would give a shit? But that dynamic does have me intrigued. I'm telling you.
Antonio says, thoughts on Master Watto? Do you think they'll pull the trigger on him since Kushida's sick? And how do you rate him going forward? In which category? Flop, middle, or success?
I don't think he's a complete flop. I don't think he's a complete flop. Do you think he's a complete... He's not a complete flop.
No, he's a mid-carder. He's a solid mid-carder.
Ooh, solid?
Well, solid's... Solid in as much as he is solidly in the mid card. He's a solid boy. He's a working, consistent performer.
Gotcha. I'm with you on that one. Okay. I cannot imagine them making him. I can't imagine him getting the win here, number one. And then two, I can't imagine them ever giving him the title. I would be shocked. But stranger things have happened in the world of professional wrestling.
I think they missed a trick bringing Kushida back anyway and having him debut a new sort of mandible claw style finisher where he puts his hand, foot, and mouth crusted hand in Taiji Ishimori's mouth. Yucky! Right, so interestingly now, Ishimori has been talking on New Japan Strong, my favorite TV show, about wrestling Lio Rush. Mm. So Kuro says, is Lio Rush the breath of fresh air the junior division needs? I can't wait for him and Despy to go off. So, or was it Despy who was talking about Lio Rush? I can't remember. Someone was talking about Lio Rush. And as always with Lio Rush, like I'll believe it when I see it. Right. When he actually steps foot into the ring, whether that's on Strong or in Japan, then yeah, I'll talk about it. But until then, I mean, maybe there's something to it. Is Lio Rush potentially a guy that you could see being a big enough name to, let's say, step into a IWGP junior heavyweight match at Wrestle Kingdom? Or do you think he's not at that level?
I think he is. I think he could easily step in. It's just, unfortunately, the guy...
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show, and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it, and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading. So you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet, arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by View and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They're on standby for you 24/7 so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy video lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived. And really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys and reach in my pocket or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy video lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition. 1 second, door is unlocked. Much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
You know, whether it's mental health issues or it's physical issues or it's lost of love of pro wrestling or whatever the reasons, it just seems like the guy he's in, then he's out, and he's in, and he's out, and he's in, and he's out. It's like, all right, well, I mean, how can you put any trust in a guy like that? Not for nothing. How can you? Could you give him a belt? I mean, you could, but I don't know. I just I like him a lot. I like him in the ring. I like his look. I think it's creative. I like everything about him except the fact that he doesn't wrestle enough for me, to be very truthful. That's really it.
Yes, likewise. I think bags of talent, and there's even that sort of built-in goodwill with the New Japan fans and the work that he's done on Strong, but just seems to have been waiting for him to come over to Japan for a long time now. So again, I'll wait and see when it actually happens. So the seventh match here is a KOPW 2022 provisional match. It's a Who's Your Daddy match between the holder, Shingo Takagi, and the challenger, El Fantasmo. So the rules of this match, it's just a regular match, but the loser of the match will have to get an in-ring mic and declare to the world that the winner is their daddy. So I mean, I'm really looking forward to the match. I think these are two tremendous wrestlers. We all know how good Shingo is, and ELP has come on leaps and bounds since this sort of slow transition to heavyweight. I guess, I mean, does this mean that he's fully heavyweight now? I would assume so. And I mean, what better way to cement that than by having ELP become the KOPW holder? But I mean, I'm torn on this one because I think Shingo's champion's been decent. Has he actually defended it yet? I don't think he has. Can you remember any KOPW defenses of Shingo? All I remember is the really good match the series he had with Taichi.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
What are the defense for this one, Damon?
Like, I feel like we have a little bit of someone's been watching a lot of Memphis tapes lately, I think, to have the stipulation involved. It does feel very Memphis-y. But on paper,
let's go the whole hog. Let's do like a sort of Jerry Springer style paternity test and have the loser actually be the winner's biological biological son. That would be a really great storyline. You know, if Dick Togo is as into the sports entertainment as much as people think he is, then that seems to be the natural direction.
I say we turn the promotion into the hustle and just go all in. We have Muda spraying mist on body parts to produce babies. Yeah, it'd be great. Did you ever watch any Hustle?
No, I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Oh, so it was a promotion where a very entertainment-based pro wrestling. Like, you will see Legends of the Ring now in the weirdest scenarios. That's the best way. It's wacky pro wrestling with people who you would think this person would never do wacky pro wrestling. They're doing wacky pro wrestling. Some people love it. Some people hate it. But I will let you choose. Anywho, who's your daddy? And I don't give a shit. I gotta be honest. I don't care. I like the match.
It'd be a good match. Yes. I mean, yeah.
Yes.
And I'm glad that there's no sort of the who's your daddy thing is not bleeding into the match. That it's not going to be like an I quit match, but with who's your daddy? No, it's not you.
You're my daddy. Imagine that. They have the mic in the ring, you know. You're my daddy. Stupid. I don't want
to. No, you made that sound good now. I wanted to do that.
Really? Thank you. That was my Tully Blanchard. That was my Tully Blanchard. All right. What else we got?
Eighth match, special singles match. So we got Kazuchika Okada against Jonah. So Okada can't be fucked defending the briefcase anymore. He's not doing that. He is moonwalking his way into Wrestle Kingdom regardless of the outcome of this match, which I respect. He just does not give a fuck about anyone else. But, you know, he's running this company. We know it. He's the man. But, yeah, I mean, they could have made this one for the briefcase. And I'm not sure, in a way, this just being a special singles match adds more doubt to the outcome than if it were a briefcase match. Because if it was a briefcase match, I'm saying, well, no chance. We're not having Jonah going into the Wrestle Kingdom main event. But with it just being a special singles match, you know, why do that unless, I don't know, am I sort of working myself into a shoot here? Do you think there's any chance of Jonah winning this?
I see what you're saying. I see where your mind is in the sense that taking out the briefcase and the stipulation gives them a safety net to be able to do a little bit more. They have a little bit more flexibility to do things. I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if Jonah gets a win. I wouldn't.
But then what do you do then? So if you have Jonah, who's got two wins over the G1 winner.
I mean, there's at least 2 months before fucking Wrestle Kingdom. They could have a briefcase match. They could force the issue to have a, like, you have a guy who's saying, I'm not fucking defending this thing. It's mine. I'm fuck you. Eat my ass. It ain't happening. And then everybody's like, okay, well.
And then they have to go and have an eat my ass match.
I'm all in. Let's do it. My point is that there's, you know, without the briefcase, you have Jonah win and it kind of forces the hand to have that match. He's got two wins over him. And even Okada could be like, I don't fuck what, well, you know, or maybe he wants it. Maybe he wants it for revenge and says, okay, you beat me twice. Fuck you. We're going a third time and I'll put up my stupid briefcase. And then he gets the win.
Or can I throw another possibility into the mix? So the website did mention he wants to create a three-way defense of the heavyweight gold at the Tokyo Dome. Chances of that, Jay White versus Okada versus Jonah. I put that somewhere south of fuck all personally, but you know, strange things have happened.
I'm telling you, just can we not do that? Can we have an epic main event at Wrestle Kingdom and without three ways and four ways and nine ways and just, I don't know. Stop overthinking it, guys. Stop it. Look, the first step was,
to be honest, I think that was just like a throwaway line to create some intrigue. That's not happening.
Right, well, sure. I don't want it to happen. Please. Thank you.
All right. That is the last word on Okada versus Jonah. So the main event, our ninth match, is the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match. Jay White with his second defense. They've updated it. Before it said first defense, I assume that they were treating the Forbidden Door victory. I guess they figured pinning Adam Cole didn't count as a proper defense because he's so little. But now they've changed it and it is a second defense. So defending against the challenger, Tama Tonga. So, I mean, I've been throwing flowers at Tama Tonga for, it feels like, a year now. About how fantastic he's been with this face turn, and all the people who heap scorn on it are wrong. The crowd love him. He is one of the most over baby faces in the company, with or without the clap crowds. And he's just, I've a guy who is higher in Tama Tonga than most, but even he has surprised me with how successful this has been. But in spite of all that, does he have the baby face charisma to make this a legitimate threat to the championship of Jay White? And the answer is no. I mean, I'm not buying Tama Tonga winning this for a second, which does sort of hurt the drama of the match, especially if it's going to go long as these title matches usually do. If they get me with any of the near falls, then I would say that's a success. But I'm going into this match fully expecting a Jay White win. And does that hurt the drama of the match? Yes, it does. Does that really compromise the, you know, the dramatic integrity of the match? How are you feeling about this?
It screams to me, and I could be wrong, it wouldn't be the first time, but it screams to me that something is there, because you're right. On the surface, this is a title defense that you would think that, okay, it might be a very good match, but Jay White's winning it. And I don't think anybody is going into it being like, oh, they're gonna flip the title. So that means, at least in my eyes, that, okay, so something else has to happen. Something else has to occur. There has to be something. You have an opportunity here with a former Bullet Club member and a current Bullet Club member and other people that are on this show that can interfere and cause havoc. And I don't know. Maybe this is a step in that direction with Bullet Club. I don't know. We've been saying it for a long time, right? And it really still hasn't come to pass. And maybe they're not going to. It seems weird that we've had so many stops and starts, but maybe there's more to this than we have on paper.
So how are you feeling about Declaration of Power overall? I think it's a pretty good card, to be honest, for this spot, you know, this Sumo Hall October show. That I think this is up to my expectations for a show of this caliber.
Yeah, I think it's a different show. It feels like a different show. It feels like a fresh show with interesting little tidbits nestled in here and there that we talked about. Is it the sexiest show in the world? Probably not. But I think there's a lot there that people can sink their teeth into and get into. And again, I do like the fact that it feels somewhat fresh, and it feels like there are avenues that they can go. Now, whether they choose to take routes that make things a little bit more interesting leading up into the months to Wrestle Kingdom, I don't know. But it feels like there are passageways. Interesting passageways just centered around this card that lead to the future. That's what I see.
Do you think that we're going to get a big angle of this show?
I do. It feels like one of those shows that you're going to get a big angle. I don't, and again, no fucking pastrami sandwiches, no nothing. But it's just in my years of watching pro wrestling, it feels like a show where something's going to happen. And I don't know what that might be or what, you know, who knows, but it just feels that way.
Well, that is a Declaration of Power coming up Monday, October 10th at Ryogoku Kokugikan. So, I mean, I'll throw this in here. We can edit it out later. Of course, we have the news that occurred earlier in the week about the death of Antonio Inoki, which is obviously something that we will need to discuss. Now, there are other people and podcasts out there who, if you are looking for sort of a big historic deep dive and, you know, the trip down memory lane, all the great memories of Inoki, this is not the place for that, because I mean, personally, I don't have either the knowledge or the interest to do that. And I would suggest that, I mean, I, to be honest, Damon, I think our listeners don't expect that of us. So we did want to get a guest on the show. We did reach out to Joe Lanza from Voices of Wrestling. But anyone who follows Voices of Wrestling will know that Joe is not in a good way right now because his voice is absolutely buggered. So we'll be waiting on him until his voice is recovered so he can hop on the JCast and do this topic justice. Because I personally would like to come at it at a slightly different angle than a lot of the other retrospectives where, I hate to say it, Damon, they feel kind of whitewashed because Inoki is a very complex person. And I feel a lot of the stuff I've seen and heard sort of skates past the more controversial topics where I think we've got to do our due diligence and handle it in a a fair and balanced way, personally.
1,000%. And that's what I really feel that makes Inoki just a unbelievable story. Just like everything, like he is pro wrestling. I mean, just like the definition of pro wrestling is how Antonio Inoki worked his career both in and out of the ring. He's got an absolutely unbelievably interesting story. And I think that, yes, matches are important and all that, but I think that there are other things that made him so iconic and notorious that, like, I love hearing people's views of him, because he is a very polarizing personality in the world of pro wrestling. I don't think it's going to be like, we're not going to sit here and fucking bury him, but we're going to talk about the goods and the bads, and what we know of that. So I think it'll be a fun conversation.
Yes. So whenever that comes your way, you know, it can wait. I'm just going to bite my tongue there. Don't make any jokes, Joel. No,
good boy.
Yes. So let's do some questions then, because we've got a 52-minute podcast here. Let's see what we got. New NJ's Villain says, if Omega Osprey is off the table for Wrestle Kingdom, what is for Will at Wrestle Kingdom? So, yeah, let's sort of look ahead here at the show, the Battle Autumn Osaka show, Saturday, November 5th. So we have the US Heavyweight Championship match with Osprey defending his US title against Naito. We also have Never Openweight Championship match with Carl Anderson defending against Hikuleo. So looking specifically at that Osprey Naito match, I mean, assuming Osprey wins, which he might not, you know, I could easily see Naito winning that. But if Osprey does win, if it's not Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom, who do you think would be a good defense for Osprey at the Tokyo Dome?
Well, I'm going to address one thing when it comes to Will and Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega has been suspended from AEW longer than, like, people who actually did something. You know what I mean? Like, actually did bad things.
He was just trying to protect the dog.
I mean,
come on. I'm not a big Kenny defender or anything, right? But surely.
Right. Why is this guy suspended again? He got bit. Oh, and it's been what? Oh, I mean, we're going on 2 months now? It's unbelievable. What the fuck are they doing over there? Seriously. Like, what the fuck are they doing over there? I mean, I'm sure there's legal. Everybody's trying to sue everybody at this point, I'm sure. But what a wacky scenario. What a, just a fucking disappointment that whole thing has become. Anyway.
David, they should do a trade. They should, New Japan should trade Ibushi with Omega. And then everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Apart from the Golden Lovers stand, who don't get to see this.
They still don't get it. Yeah, they still don't get what they want. It's just weird. Anyway, so if it's not Kenny, who would be a good choice? Who would be a good choice? That's a great question. That's a great question. Who would you put in there with him that he hasn't been in there with already?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of look for the sort of New Japan roster. I'm scratching my head. I mean, he's wrestled everyone. Naito was the last person, and now he's wrestling Naito in Osaka.
Right.
So I'd have to think you'd be looking outside the company. I mean, is there anyone on the AEW roster that you think could be a realistic and big enough drawing challenger for him?
Well, that's the challenge, right? Because, again, they have that show in – AEW has that show on the 4th in Seattle. Right. And again, like, Seattle is a huge launching point to go to Japan. Like, that's you fly to either Chicago, Houston, or Seattle, and then go to Japan 9 times out of 10, unless you're flying direct out of New York.
Forget the AEW guys. So I've got two suggestions for you here.
Okay.
That I don't think he's wrestled. He hasn't wrestled in New Japan. Jonah or Tom Lawler? I think Ospreay versus Jonah could be a lot of fun.
Oh, it absolutely could be a lot of fun. That's not bad. That's not bad. I don't know. I know. I'm going down that roster, and I'm like, I got to be honest with you. It feels like it's got to be somebody outside the roster. And even then, I'm kind of like, okay. Like, who's able to go, and who's willing to go, and how are they going to make it happen, and all that shit. Jonah sounds as good as anybody right now. I mean, maybe one of the guys coming back from excursion?
Yeah, Shota. Shota might be. Oh, well, no, they just wrestled, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But nobody saw it.
On the show that nobody's allowed to watch.
So technically, they really didn't. Maybe that's the route they go. Who knows? It does feel a little bit like, oh, okay. What are we going to be doing here? I just sat here and talked about a show that it had many different options, and now we got Will Ospreay, and it's like, okay, well, yeah. Who do we put in the ring with him?
Sanada.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Well,
Tai Chi. That'd be good. Ospreay against Tai Chi. Don't know if they've wrestled each other before.
How about Zach?
They must have done. Yeah, you could do that. I mean, they've wrestled each other tons of times. It's always great. Always delivers.
Zach might be a good pick. I might lean that way. It might be good. All right.
All right. More questions then. Andrew says, Kiss are playing at the Tokyo Dome on November 3rd. Will they outdraw Wrestle Kingdom and Muto's retirement combined?
Oh, great question. Kiss at the Tokyo Dome. Will it outdraw combined Wrestle Kingdom and Muta? I would think a concert setup has more seats. No, well, maybe not. Maybe probably about the same, right? A floor. When it's all said and done, between the entrance ramps. See? I say, you figure, even if we go 25 for each of the wrestling shows, that's, you know, 50. Is Kiss getting 50 at the Tokyo Dome? Probably. I'm going to say Kiss.
I don't have an opinion on that. I will defer to your musical expertise. And yes, Kiss. Let's go with Kiss. Yeah. Go Kiss. Face Collector says, what do you think about Clark Connor's Game Hunter gimmick? Feel like he needs some chewing tobacco or a can of Miller Lite to hammer at home. I mean, I think it's a bit cheesy, but I think it sort of hits that sort of peak spot, the sweet spot of cheesy that will continue to get him over with the home crowd in Japan.
I guess. I mean, I'm not personally a fan of it. I mean, it's not like he's the fucking Bushwhackers, but yeah, it's just, I don't
know. Oh, you start licking people's heads.
There you go.
That's the missing piece.
That's what we need. I mean, because everyone from New Zealand and Australia do that, right? That's just what happens down there. Everybody walking around in that walk with their hands going up and down and licking people. That's how they greet each
other. Clark Connors doing the hand thing.
Yeah. He's got to do the hand thing. Come on. Yeah. I would pay cash money to have him do the little Bushwhacker stroll. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. It's okay. I mean, listen, it's a hat and fucking, what, a vest? Okay. Whatever. Whatever.
Whatever. Troy says, with the presence of Team Filthy and TMDK in New Japan, if you were given the chance to add a new member to each faction that are based in Japan, so New Japan wrestlers that aren't strong mainstays, who would you add to Team Filthy and TMDK respectively? I mean, I'm looking at unaffiliated guys, you know, maybe David Finlay, or maybe I think David Finlay might be a good fit in Team Filthy, and maybe a returning Young Lion, they could be in the mix. I mean, for TMDK, who would be good in TMDK? Robbie Eagles? I don't know if that's just me being lazy for the Australasian connection there.
Who would I put in there? I would put You know what would be really cool? And it would never, I mean, it's breaking the rules of even this question, but how about Minoru Suzuki in Team Filthy?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I like it. Well, it's weird, but I like it.
I think that would be fucking rad. And, you know, Tai Chi taking over what would be now called Suzuki-gun and have a little feud there. I think that could be fun. Yeah.
Well, maybe Hikuleo would be good in TMDK. I know he's sort of connected with Guerrillas of Destiny, but
yeah,
that'd be quite a good fit anyway. Yeah. All right. Classic Cat says, Meltzer is reporting that WWE is looking for, quote, unquote, a big Japanese guy. What guy would you like to see get sent from New Japan to WWE? Can we sort of, is there any way we can convince WWE that Luke Gallows is Japanese and get them to send him and Carl back there?
Yes. I don't necessarily think that's...
Do we, like, you remember the Lord Tensai thing with
yes.
Giant Bernard?
Yes.
Do that and be like, yep, it's definitely Japanese.
Yep. Certainly. I'll tell you one guy that I would be afraid that WWE has their eyeballs on. And I think he's more of a Vince guy than anything else. And that's Hikuleo.
Well, yeah, not Japanese, but
right.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know what I mean? That's one guy.
Wasn't they talk as Sanada? Wasn't Sanada in there?
Are you kidding me?
They had their eyes on him a few years ago. I mean, there's absolutely zero chance you would ever get anywhere close to being over.
Oh my god, WWE. No. Yeah, no, that would not
be quite fun. You know what? I'd like to see that. Not
really
personally against Sanada, but it would just be very funny.
You can watch it right now. It's called Shinsuke Nakamura.
I was about to say, a company that failed to get Shinsuke Nakamura over in any meaningful way to just have a crack with Sanada.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't we have Kenta there too as well? I'm just saying. Oh, fuck. What a company that is. All right. No, but I would say, A, I don't think it's any, it's not like it's fucking Hiroshi Tanahashi or fucking, you know, any of the Naito or anybody like that. I think it's somebody that's in. You know, who's to say? It could be fucking, you know, Jake Lee or fucking Kenta Miyahara or, you know, whomever. Like, it doesn't have to be New Japan.
Andrew has another question here. If Joel could take any New Japan wrestler on holiday to. Now, I know he wants me to just pronounce this very poorly because this is the name of a Welsh place that I went to on holiday when I was little. I'm just going to make a complete fool of myself here. Let me. Llangollen.
Oh.
Who would he take? So this is I went on a riverboat holiday. Beautiful place. Llangollen. I'll say it again so you can all laugh at me. I would take Kazuchika Okada with me because he's good at piloting a boat. So
yes.
He would be great at navigating the Llangollen Canal.
Yes.
We'd have a really fun time and play cards. We play Uno on the riverboat and visit lots of nice local pubs, and it'd be a lovely holiday for all. Mikey says, for comparison, Damon, well, Tag League versus Super Junior Tag League.
Super Junior Tag League. Super Junior Tag League has good matches thrown in the mix. Like it's, I feel like Super Junior Tag is an easier watch than some of those middle show world tags. Those are tough to get by, but it doesn't really matter because I'll be on vacation then. You know, that's our month holiday, right? We got to start lining that up, right? We're doing that, right?
Well, you say that, but with these cheering shows, you know, you could be missing out. No, we'll open it up again because everyone did such a fantastic job last time that. They deserve to get something nice to cover, not clap crowds while tagging shows.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be perfectly fine having the same people as before. I mean, if we wanted to reach out to them, because I thought everybody did a great job. And if there's more people, by all means, bring it on.
Yeah, except Josh from We Work Stiff. I don't want you anywhere near the Super J cast. All right, let's move on then.
What? Really?
Daryl says, does it concern anyone how many events are pay-per-view nowadays? I think this is more of a situation regarding shows outside Japan, but it feels like this is becoming a much more regular thing. Are we going to have a situation where some big shows, Dominion or Wrestle Kingdom, are going to move to pay-per-view?
So, I mean, I don't think that's going to be the case for the Japanese based shows. I would be shocked if there was an extra fee associated with getting, say, like G1 or Wrestle Kingdom. I wouldn't be surprised if that is the future, where you pay for your subscription and then you have to pay X, whether it's $5 or $10, whatever, I don't know, for the bigger shows. That might be, you know, wrestling streaming's future, specifically New Japan World. I don't know for a fact, but I mean, if they're looking to monetize, that would be the way to do it. The shows overseas in England, States, etc. I mean, they had that relationship with Fight, and you know that relationship involved money. It's people, you know, that was a Harold thing though, and Michael Craven thing too, right? I feel like Fight was that. But I think the future is you pay for the streaming service and then you pay extra on top of it. And I think like a service like New Japan World, you know, New Japan World's not Peacock, right? It's not NBC Universal. It's New Japan World. So that's how they're going to make money off of it. So your concerns are valid. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing, sort of the odd shows that pop up, like, you know, Taka Taichi Despy Mania. But yeah, I mean, I do wonder sort of how the sustainability of this 999 yen model, especially with the company losing money through the COVID pandemic. We'll have to see going forward. Cactus Max says, could we have a 15-minute segment for Cheryl holding forth on IKEA and tips on self-assembly? Like, oh. Damon, the wife orders me out of the room so she can self-assemble in peace.
Yeah, it's a skill. It's an absolute skill. Everything comes flat packed and there's directions and it's all illustration and you got to really pay attention to what side to screw and, well, you know, but she's an expert at it. I'm telling you, everything in our house that has been put together, she did. I would do like a show. I would do this show and walk out and be like, oh, cabinets are done or whatever. She just has that skill, the patience. And here's the thing, a stickler to detail. Like Cheryl is an I dotter and a T crosser. So she is kind of good at that. It doesn't mean that she necessarily likes it, but she's good at it. And yeah, I mean, but, and I think guys don't have, the majority of guys that I know don't necessarily have that patience. Like it's a patience thing. Like if you like doing puzzles, it might be for you, but I get,
yeah, just, that's what I like about doing it. It's just like a big jigsaw puzzle. And I'm allowed to shut the children out of the room.
Yes, that's true too.
I say, oh no, it's dangerous for them. They can't.
Yes.
Move.
Yes.
And then I actually get some peace and quiet and listen to some podcasts or what, watch some YouTube. And I do it really, really slowly. And even though the actual process may only take me about 5 minutes of actual assembly, I just take about 2 hours doing it and come out sort of wiping my brow going, oh God, that was really tough, Ali.
They're like, well, what's all that used tissue on the ground? What did you? that came with the box, dear.
Oh dear. Okay. Multiverse Ace. So a lot of these questions are very old. You'll be able to tell. Multiverse Ace says, with the passing of John Madden, who do you consider the definitive voice of professional wrestling?
Do you know who John Madden is, Joe?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
I do. Look at you, Mr. Sports. Who is the voice of professional wrestling? Look, Jim Ross in the 80s was fucking untouchable to me. Like his Mid-South, UWF, early WCW, and even early WWFE was really good. Really good. He has lived off of that run the rest of his career, mind you. But that run that
you're telling me you don't want 2022
no,
JR
No.
Commentating on a House of Torture, never overweight six-man tag team championship, dog cage, tornado survival match.
Can you imagine, like, if the world just didn't change and he was still doing commentary? Oh, my goodness gracious. What a fucking train wreck that would be. No, no. Who's the best right now? That wasn't the question. That's not the question, who's the best right now. Look, I think, honestly, I think Kevin Kelly's run with New Japan has to be up there. Don't you think? Like, I'm not just blowing smoke because I like the guy. Like, he legitimately, you know, his run with New Japan has been with some of the best pro wrestling calls, I think, ever.
Agree.
And then you have to put in...
Who else is there?
Yeah. And then you have to put in, like, I think, like, there's a guy like Lance Russell, who I really like, just because he's just, like, the guy next door. I think those, that's a solid list. I think, but I think Jim Ross is, that run, I don't think, that's very hard to touch. Very hard to touch.
Festive Dwarf says, why doesn't Damon check his Snapchat anymore?
I even forgot I even had one. I gotta be honest with you. I don't check anything. Every once in a while, I'll go on Instagram. Oh, by the way,
have you seen? You follow Mally on Instagram, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Have you seen her? You wouldn't have done because you're recording a podcast with me right now, and you're a professional. But do you have your Instagram handy?
I do. Let's take a look. See, I can fire that up, of course.
I'm not going to say my wife's Twitter handle.
Oh, here we go.
Instagram handle. Yeah.
Fun on Saturday morning. You turned up.
Let's get that one.
Skip it. Skip it. All right. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, just
here we go. You sitting with the child?
Let's get that one. Oh, I said, I know there's a lot here. I should have been more specific about which ones wanted you to watch.
All right. Now we're at a park. We're in a car.
Let's get that one as well.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right.
Sorry.
It's a better result in a boob. Let's see here. All right. Now we're back. We're still driving school. 911 driving school. Oh, look at you all.
Let's get that. Just keep going until we're back home and Arthur's in his pajamas.
Okay. Let me keep going. How do I skip? Do I just swipe?
Oh, my God. I think you just touch the screen and you can skip.
Okay. Oh, thank you. All right, so we're building now. All right, oh, we're home. And we're walking. We're walking.
Look at him go.
Look at this monster go. Oh, my God. Oh!
No sold it like a champ.
What a...
The second coming of Tomohiro Ishii.
He is... Ah, oh, he's adorable. Little guy walking around now. My God, you are screwed.
I know, right?
I like your
there
place.
You go, the future... IWGP mixed gender tag team champions.
Yeah, no doubt.
Esther and Arthur.
Yeah. Oh, now he's tired.
he's just lying on the floor.
Yeah, he just died. I like your house too. I like your apartment. I like the way you have it set up. It's very spacious, very open, very clean looking.
Right. Nice. You'll have to come over sometime.
That's that plane ride, my friend. That's that plane ride. When they invent teleportation, I'm all fucking in. All fucking in. I do want to go back. We were talking about Japan the other day. Me and Cheryl, we're like, oh, it'd be great to go back.
Yeah, we're thinking about it as well. If we do go back to the UK permanently from next summer, while we're in Asia, we're thinking, oh, should we get in one last trip to Japan? And this is going to be sacrilege, but I was thinking, if I do, let's say we go to Japan over Christmas, I'm not sure I want to go to Wrestle Kingdom.
Right.
Is that terrible?
I mean, it really depends on a lot of scenario, but yeah, I mean, trust me, Cheryl doesn't give a fuck. She would be like, I'm good. It would be weird to not, but honestly, I think a lot of the things that we were talking about really didn't involve any type of wrestling. So I don't know. It would be interesting. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, if you should definitely, you're 3 hours away. I mean, what the fuck? Yeah. Yeah, I would be booking that right now.
Fuck it. I'm going to do it.
I'm telling
myself. I deserve it.
Ah, I'd be so jealous of you, you fucker. while you're eating those that delicious. Oh, I will be jealous. I will absolutely be jealous. All right. What else we got? We done? I know we thought maybe Lanza was hopping on today. We weren't quite sure.
I don't know. He's not coming on today.
Yeah,
he's not.
And he's sick.
His voice is absolutely buggered. Like anyway, he did a little audio update. It was like 3 minutes long on the Patreon, and he sounds horrific. There's no way he's going today. Maybe next week.
Maybe next week we'll do it. Yeah. Yeah. I feel bad because every time it's like there's always a, you know, like we've wanted to have him
on. He's never been on, has he?
No, he's never been on. But like when you were away, he was one of the guys. And then
I was really looking forward to that. I was just like, yes, you know, Damon and Joe breaking down G1 Climax. No, it didn't happen.
Yeah, it was like schedules were fucked up, and then you were coming back, and then it just didn't happen. And like he's always been one of those guys where I've been like, oh, that'd be super fun. But yeah, we'll figure it out. All right.
Okay. Keep the money coming in, please. redcircle.com/shows/super-j-cast. We appreciate all your donations. That's going to fund my trip to Japan.
Yeah.
Discord link you can get if you send me a direct message on Twitter or I'll join our wonderful community there at Cobra Kawaii and prowrestlingtees.com/superjcast if you want to buy one of our t-shirts. Thank you to Editor Dan. Find him on Twitter at lousyhero219. Subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network for other great shows. Give us a 5-snake review on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at the Super J Cast. Thank you everyone for listening and goodbye.